This is Viva Podcast. Thank you for joining us in our morning daily devotion.
The birth, sinless life, crucifixion, death and resurrection of Christ are events that change this world forever. Good Friday is a day that is known all over the world. Why would the death of God be termed good? Who was it good for? For Christ who suffered with the sin of the entire world laid upon him? Being cut off from his fellowship with the Father to be made sin, or for those who rejected him, cursed him, tortured, mocked, spat, played a twisted game of casting lots for his clothes, for those who stood watching him suffer, hoping that he would die soon so they could get on with the feast of the Passover, for the two thieves who began by abusing him with words that cut more deeply than the whips of the soldiers that scourged his back, the hands that plucked out his beard and struck him repeatedly and embedded a crown of thorns. Who was that day good for? In the midst of Christ's suffering on the cross, he faced four groups of people. That is the two criminals, the people who watched him, the rulers who sneered, and the soldiers who mocked. We see all this in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 onwards. Let's look at what this means. In all this, let us understand that the main point is it is only by the sovereign grace of God that sinners are saved, and it was demonstrated by Christ even as he suffered for our sins upon the cross. So let's look at these four groups of people that were there. Firstly, the people who watched. We see that in verse 35. These were the common people, Jews from Jerusalem, who had come to view three criminals being crucified. But these were also the people who had hung on to every word of Jesus, who perhaps welcomed him with cries of Hosanna, and then it turned against him and said, "Crucify him." They were guilty because they had witnessed all that Jesus had done and taught and had every opportunity to trust him as the Messiah, but they were just there to mock him. And they did not know that they were watching the true Passover lamb being sacrificed. And that was the point. They forgot who Jesus really was. The other group of people were the rulers who scoffed. We see that again in verse 35. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." This was their mocking challenge to Christ. This was in fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 6 to 8. "He was scorned, despised, mocked, and insulted with the very words they spoke at the cross." Maybe they forgot to read that psalm. They knew what Jesus had called himself and mocked him with the very words. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. But the irony is that what Christ was doing by not saving himself, he was paying the price of their redemption for the forgiveness of their sins. Thirdly, the soldiers who mocked. We see that in verse 36. These Roman soldiers who mocked him were veterans of many crucifixions. For them it had become a sick psychological game of torture. As Jesus hangs there in agony and thirst, they offer him sour wine, which is also prophesied in Psalm 69. And in mockery, they put up a sign in Hebrew, Greek and Latin, "King of the Jews." The irony of using the truth to mock Jesus was lost upon them, because they did not know that it was indeed a king who was hanging on the cross. And lastly, the two criminals who kept insulting Jesus, verse 32 to 33 and 39 to 41. There were two of them, one on the left and one on the right, and Jesus was in the middle. They were just sideshows to the main character that day, Jesus, the one accused of claiming to be God's son and the Messiah. And this story would have ended with a side note that these two railed against him, they blasphemed him and mocked him. And as one of them cries with all bitterness, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Think of these men. They are dying in agony like Christ, but initially they too joined in mocking him and jeering him. Praise God for his grace. This was not the end of the story of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the darkness of that day, the light of salvation shone brightly on the most unlikely of people, one of those thieves. Suddenly, one of the thieves who till then had joined in the verbal assault on Christ becomes silent. We don't know what happened to him. He would have heard Jesus in the midst of his agony asking God the Father to forgive them, for they did not know what they were doing. Maybe as he neared death, he looked back at his life of sin and wickedness and knew that while he and his companion deserved what they were getting, Jesus was different. He was not like them. This man has done nothing wrong, he told his fellow criminal. Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And indeed justly. For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. He understood that he was a sinner, that God's wrath against his sin was great, and he was facing the wages of his sin. That even after his death on the cross, he would face eternal righteous judgment of a holy God. He understood he could not save himself. So he turns to Jesus. That is what he calls him, by the name that was given to him by God himself, which means Yahweh will save. This man whose society had rejected, whose own had abandoned him, who knew he was the most wicked of people, God chose to reveal Christ to him and for him to realize that Jesus was not an ordinary man, but the Messiah and the coming King. One scholar put it this way. Some saw Jesus raise the dead and did not believe. The robber sees him being put to death and yet believes. This can only be the work of God's grace. And he turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Christ's response thrills me. He says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. What do we learn from this? Firstly, for those who have not yet come to Christ, come now. Don't delay. Trust in him and his work on the cross, that he died for your sins and was raised again for your justification. For those who have already put their faith in the Lord, rejoice in the grace of God that saves sinners like us. And let us be assured of our salvation. There is no need to doubt what God has saved. He will keep to the end. And like that thief, we can be assured that we will be with Christ for eternity. God bless you.
Dear listener, we are here to stand with you in your time of need. We want to pray with you and for your prayer request. Do you need someone to talk to? We are here for you. Call us or send a message at +91 636 425 2164, +91 636 425 2164. God bless you.